April is here, and if your windows won't open for fresh air or seal tight to keep out pollen and bugs, then talk to Window Nation. Right now, for every two windows you buy, you'll get two free. There's no limit to how much you can save. Plus, save even more with no interest or payments for 24 months. With proven quality, you'll get affordable windows that meet or beat the national brands. Don't miss out. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule your free in-home estimate.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently. Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have The Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get The Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
You're listening to the Go Birds Podcast.
Marks and Reese, we are back. Happy Tuesday. And 3 o'clock on Tuesdays, Elliot Shore Parks, our Eagles reporter, Go Birds Podcast. He does the podcast in the morning now. I agree. So I wake up to Elliot screaming and yelling on his Instagram.
Oh, no, I wasn't ready for that today.
What's up, ESP?
I mean, it's playoff time. You know, gotta work 24/7. It's a Super Bowl run. I mean, they're going to be in Arizona in 2 weeks. Think about that. Like, I got to make sure I chronicle everything.
You can't hold those takes in that long. Yeah,
no, yeah.
It's bad enough getting through it overnight.
I was going to say, just wake up, drop takes. Kristen's like, go record the pod. Like,
get out of here. Yeah.
I don't care about the turnover ratio of the Niners. Walk the dog and go record the pod.
Well, Elliot, you were very chesty last week about how much better the Eagles were and the Giants weren't a great team. And you know what?
I was very right.
Yeah, I mean, listen. Yeah. The Giants, the difference in talent between the two teams as it played out, as we all saw, was significant, and the Eagles dominated them, for sure.
Yeah, and, you know, I think in some ways it was the perfect kind of warm-up game for the Eagles to get ready for what is, objectively, a much tougher game. This will be the toughest team they will have played since Sirianni was hired. I think they're probably better than any team they faced last year. I think this San Francisco team is better than the Tampa team they lost to in the playoffs last year. Just in terms of talent, I mean, the skill position players on the Niners are light years ahead of what the Giants have. So it's a much, much tougher test. There's no denying that heading into the game. So, yeah, I mean, I think they're going to win for sure. It is a tough test, though.
So how confident are we heading into the game?
So I was thinking about that, obviously, since the matchup came in. And I think on the surface, you could say there's a good chance they lose this game. But I think that if you look at if you look at the things that I believe win football games, like remove the names, all that stuff, like what wins football games, especially in the playoffs? It's the trenches, it's third down defense, it's red zone defense, it's turnovers, and it's the quarterback. Mm. And I think the Eagles have the better defensive line. I think they have the better offensive line. They have the better third down defense. They have the better third down, red zone defense. They have a better third down offense and a better red zone offense. So they're better on both sides of the ball on those key downs. Mm-hmm. They have better players in the trenches. They have better players on the sidelines, right? Like in terms of the receivers and the cornerbacks, I think they're better there. Now the Niners are good, but I think the Eagles are better there. And I think they have the better quarterback. So do I think the game could be close? Yes. But what I say to myself is, when the game is over, like Sunday at 7 o'clock, do I think this season is going to be over? I would be very surprised if the season is over, after this game.
Yeah, I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with that. I got a feeling we got a one-score game coming up. I'm leaning more towards 24-17, 24-20 type of Eagles win, just because – when you get a defense like San Francisco that's only used to giving up 16 points, they're going to make it difficult for you to score. So they're going to figure out what the Eagles love to do best and then try to see if you can get the Eagles to try to play left-handed, for lack of a better way of explaining it. And we'll see if the Eagles have a sort of counter to that. But I think the Eagles' defense steps up as well. And to your point, when you talk about the quarterbacks, what lost the game for Buffalo Sunday and Dallas Sunday was the quarterback play.
Yep.
That's what lost the game for them. And conversely, now Cincinnati has a much better quarterback, so you know what he was capable of doing. But Brock Purdy only needed to make one or two plays when called upon, and he did it. The throw to Kittle was huge for him. But Kyle Shanahan was calling the game that said, we're going to give you easy throws. We're going to run the ball with McCaffrey. I don't care if he's getting 2.5 yards per carry. We're going to stick with this, and we'll take chances when we see it fit. Until Dallas proves that we need to get out of our comfort zone. Mm-hmm. So I said this earlier, we need to get San Francisco out of their comfort zone by scoring touchdowns.
And I do think one way that could happen where it matches up well for the Eagles is big plays early. Mm-hmm. Like getting it so that in the second quarter, Purdy has to drop back a ton. And they're not controlling the clock. So if you look at it, how do they make that happen? You make it happen with big plays. And the Eagles this year have been good at jumping on opponents early, right? I mean, for half the season, we talked about how they could only score in the first half. Mm-hmm. They're one of the best first quarter offenses in the league. And they're good at big plays. Think of some of the big plays they've had early in games, right? The long touchdown to Devontae against the Giants. The long touchdown to AJ against the Steelers. Washington, Devontae had a long touchdown. I think that was in the second quarter. But they've had big plays early. The Niners, for as good as their defense is, and they are really sound, like they're a well-coached defense, they are fourth in the league in 40-plus plays allowed, right? They give up a ton of long plays, right?
Yeah.
Their defense is susceptible to being beat deep. So when you look at how the Eagles can jump on them early, the Eagles like to throw it deep early. The Niners are not good at stopping deep plays. I think that's how you get the lead. And so when you talk about confidence in winning, I think you're right, Ike. It could end up being 24-17, whatever. But I also think because of the quarterback situation and because this team is rolling into the Eagles are rolling with a ton of confidence, it wouldn't shock me if they got up 14-0 again. And the Eagles are really, really good at A, holding a lead, but they become a lot better at piling onto it. I mean, they won that second half against the Giants on Saturday. So if the Eagles can get deep early, get the Niners behind, make Purdy kind of put it on his shoulders, I think you have the recipe for a really kind of statement win by the Eagles.
So how this is an honest question. I'm with the 49ers because you surprised me with the stat about the explosive plays. And maybe I either misheard you or you didn't.
Yeah, so let me correct myself because the Eagles have allowed the fourth fewest long plays of 40-plus yards. So the fourth fewest. The Niners are 17th, so they're in the bottom half of the league in allowing long plays.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's not the fourth, like I said. I misspoke. Okay. They're in the bottom half of the league in deep plays allowed.
Well, the only thing that confused me, I'm like, well, damn, they only give up 16 points. They must have the number one red zone defense in the league. If you only give up 16 points, that means you're not giving up a bunch of touchdowns.
Their red zone defense is 20th in the league.
Yeah, see, that doesn't make sense to me.
It is weird because you look, they don't have a good red zone defense. They don't have a good third down defense. They give up big plays, but they're number one in the league in points.
So is the red zone defense?
About 16 points to only hold teams to 16 points in today's game?
Well, so I think part of it is they really create a lot of turnovers. So when you're creating turnovers, you're not in red zone defense as much because you're taking the ball away, right? And when teams get there, they score, but they're just not getting into
the
red zone.
They're not allowing teams.
They're not allowing
teams
into the red zone as much. But
they really
survive off of turnovers. I mean, I've been looking up all types of turnover stats this week. One of my favorite is when the Niners get one or fewer turnovers, so they only get one turnover from their own defense, they average 20 points a game. When they get two or more, they average 30 points a game. So a 10-point difference off turnovers. Huh. The Eagles, that exact same stat, average the same amount of points. So whether they're getting one turnover, two turnovers, three turnovers, the Eagles have been at 28, 29-ish points all year. The Niners, when they don't get turnovers, they can barely get into the 20s. So it is absolutely crucial that Jalen is smart with the ball on Sunday. And he showed
and
he can do it.
And our ball carriers.
And the ball carriers, exactly. Yeah. The Niners are one of the best tackling teams in the league. So they will be on the ball carriers. They'll be fighting for the ball. They'll be punching at it. So that's the key. The key to the game is turnovers. If the Eagles don't turn the ball over, I'd be floored if they lost the game. Because I don't think the Niners, without those turnovers, can sustain drives and stop the Eagles' offense enough times to stick in the game. It's just a matter of whether the Eagles can make mistakes. And something you've said, Ike, which is true, the Niners know how to play to make you make mistakes. You know, they're not lucking into all these turnovers.
Yeah, they don't luck into turnovers.
No, for sure. They're good at creating turnovers.
Yeah.
But the Eagles are very good at taking care of the ball. So it's really just going to be who wins that battle right there.
Yep.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm just looking at the red zone scoring percentage on TDs. I mean, the Eagles are 11th and San Francisco's 18th. But if you don't allow them to get into the red zone, they're not scoring a lot of touchdowns.
I think they finished the year number one in turnovers forced. Or right around there. Top
yeah,
three.
And they had the number one turnover differential.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, because they take care of it, too. Now, Purdy has thrown interceptable passes. Like, he got lucky Diggs dropped that pass on Sunday, right? I mean, that could have been the game right there. So, but I think Purdy has been better. You know, if Purdy was a top 10 pick and he was playing the way he's playing, everyone would be like, he's the franchise, he's the future, you know, he's the next guy up. But he wasn't. He was a 7th-round pick. So it's a much more of you have to prove it. And I don't think that's fair sometimes with draft stock. I think because of where you're drafted shouldn't impact how you're viewed in the long term. But the reality is...
Well, you definitely have to show me before I just buy into it over a few games.
But what I'm saying is, if he was the number one overall pick and he went 8-0 as a starter and had his team in the championship game, the hype would be out of control.
Sure.
But because he's a 7th-round pick, I think you have to prove more. And that's another discussion on how fair that is. I'm just saying he's playing better than his name indicates. Like, Mr. Irrelevant, you wouldn't think would be playing this
right. Way. Right. I agree.
Yeah, of course. And it's the Kyle Shanahan offense. They've had three quarterbacks do it this year. Jimmy Garoppolo was barely a game manager, and they were still having success before.
Right.
But you're right. If this is a different prospect that's having these exact same numbers, Purdy would be getting talked up big time.
Well, and the other part of this is, you know, I think the Eagles have advantage on the field in a lot of positions. So the next thing is the coaching staff. And the Niners have a great coaching staff. Kyle Shanahan is not a great game day coach when it comes to like going for it on fourth down,
right.
Time management. I mean, he's been involved in two of the biggest like collapses in NFL history,
sure,
right?
Yeah.
So
we
can debate, you know, Monday through Saturday, who's the better coach. You would probably lean Shanahan there. He's proven it, long track record.
Well, in this city, how many people are going to defend Jonathan Gannon?
Well,
Nick Sirianni and Elliott.
Yeah, but that's silly. I mean, you know.
Well, I'm with you here, Jonathan Gannon.
So you were actually.
I was the one that asked him that.
So what was the question that you asked?
Well, I should have said how dominant was Gannon today. But what I said was, what'd you think of Gannon's performance today? The defense.
And he said 7 points.
How many points did they give up?
Right.
And I was like, 7. And he was like, yeah, it's pretty good. And that's when he went off.
He went off from that point.
I almost butted in and go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Not to defend Angelo, but no. To say, I defend him on WIP.
Right.
Nick was cooking. So
just let him cook.
I just kept hitting record and let him go. Yeah. get that video for Twitter.
Yeah.
Well, listen, he had his guys back, and for good reason, the defense has been good.
But I'll say this.
They better win this week.
Well, this is the...
It better be good Sunday, or Angelo will get the last laugh.
I was going to say... Like,
his last week on the air will be epic.
If I was consulting Nick on this,
imagine?
I would be like, Nick, I get the confidence. You're right.
Right.
But maybe wait until you get to the Super Bowl. Because you're kind of setting yourself up for... If you're going to come on and be like, they're number one in this and this and this. Well, all right.
They got one game to go to get to the Super
Bowl. Yeah,
then
go out on Sunday and shut down the Niners.
Yeah.
You know, like, so 7 points allowed isn't even that impressive when you look at the quarterbacks they've faced.
Well, the Niners haven't faced great quarterbacks.
I don't care.
Okay.
Right now you're ripping Gannon.
He's not good. Like, I'm so sick
in
of
what,
Gannon.
In what
thing.
World is Gannon a not good defense? No,
fine.
Come on, tell me. Tell
he's
me.
Fine.
How,
I just
no,
I
no,
want
no,
to
no,
see
no,
them
no,
beat
no, no,
I
no.
want to see them beat a good team before it gets all high and mighty about how great John Gannon
okay.
is.
He is a great defensive coordinator.
He's an okay.
No, he's not. Dude, they're near the top of the
Elliot,
league in almost
if
every.
I
so wait,
defense
let, let, wait,
for
hold
two
on.
Weeks, I could have the same defensive stats as John.
I love the thing of they haven't beaten good quarterbacks.
Well,
how
I
many
love
good
that.
Quarterbacks are there? What defense is out there playing Mahomes, Burrow, and Allen every week?
What does John
every
Gannon,
defense is,
what does Jonathan Gannon do to create sacks?
All right. Well, first
they
of all,
70 sacks
okay.
They tried hard.
Okay. All right. First of all, neither of us know defensive line play well enough to answer this question.
All right,
let's be honest.
What does he do to get them to sack the quarterback?
Okay.
More?
Hold up. First of all, before the year, the whole thing was, he's going to drop Reddick back too much, and I was in that camp. Reddick's having a career.
I'm
year,
not on
right?
your side, Jack.
Yeah.
I'm with Elliot on this. Don't ask me nothing.
I can't explain a defensive stunt in the front, but I know they run them a lot, and guys are looping and all that stuff, right?
Right.
So ultimately,
that's a good breakdown.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm basically baldy over here, right? But I know that when you get to 70 sacks in the fourth most in league history,
it's got to be pretty good.
It's got to be pretty good.
Got to be doing something right.
Yeah. It's not just quarter. It's not the quarterbacks they're playing. And again, because no defense is playing a great quarterback every week.
God forbid that defense doesn't play well this week.
Oh, God.
I mean, I've already been proven right, so one bad game's not going to change my mind. But it would be bad.
Well, no, you're not going to change. No, we're talking about the reaction from the morning.
Oh, it'll be ugly.
Yes.
Yeah. I wish he would have waited a week to answer your question.
Watch, they'll lose like 21-17, and then everyone will be mad at the defense.
Oh, it'll be on a final drive.
Yep.
Yeah.
Where there was no pressure.
Yep.
Yeah. But Purdy completes 85% of his passes.
But to your point, I would have told Nick the same thing, same advice. Let's wait a week until.
Well, but I do think
you go nuclear on Angelo.
The one legit concern is the Niners are really good over the middle of the field, right? Kittle getting Debo into the middle of the field, getting him in space. The weakness of the Eagles' defense is the middle. They're very good on the line, very good, near the sidelines. It's the middle. And look, Marcus Epps has played well this year, so maybe we shouldn't question him as much as we do. But Chauncey Gardner-Johnson's not a great tackler, right? Reed Blankenship's a rookie. The linebackers have been really good, but you don't like, basically any linebacker in a matchup against Debo, Kittle, or McCaffrey. So that would be the concern. If I'm Shanahan this week and I'm watching this Eagles defense, I'm running slants all day over the middle and making the Eagles tackle these players.
But to both of your points, the Eagles offense could put pressure on the 49ers in general by scoring early.
Yeah, get a lead early. Yeah. Look,
I'm all for taking the ball.
I was
going to
say, I mean,
you know what, Ike? You're damn right.
Yeah, take the ball.
I'm sure there were some players on offense and coach that were thinking, yeah, all right, I'm okay losing that coin toss. Like, listen, take the ball.
We heard Jordan basically said it last night.
Yeah, he was happy with it.
Yes, he was happy when he realized the offense was going out there. The field. Yes.
Yeah. On the Players Lounge with Ike Reese and Elliott Shore Parks Monday night.
So. It's an excellent program.
It is.
At Chickies
and Peace.
It should be an award-winning program, or at least nominated. I don't know what award.
At least submitted, yeah.
Jack, are there awards we could win? Or because I am not an award-winning radio host. Everybody's an award-winning host or on TV. I'm not an award-winning host.
And how many different writing functions do we need? I mean, last night was the 118th Philly Sports Writers Awards Bank. How has Philly Sports been around for 118 years?
Yeah, I was going to say, is this...
If they had 118, I mean, I can't imagine there was a lot of excitement.
Well,
at
I guess there was the early 90s. Also, how much competition was there early on? Like, how many people are covering these games in 1903 or whatever it was?
What were their takes? Man?
Probably not as many as right now.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Steve in Columbus, New Jersey. Is there a Columbus, New Jersey? Steve, how are you? Yeah, Jack, you're going to pull him up.
There you go.
Thank you. What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you doing?
Doing all right.
What's up, Steve?
All right. A couple things real quick, all right? First of all, you're saying that the Eagles haven't played any strong elite quarterbacks, right?
Well, yeah,
that's what Jack just said. Yeah.
Jack said.
Well, they're not playing one this weekend.
All
right.
and also, for what it's worth, they did play Trevor Lawrence, who was one of the best quarterbacks in the league the second half of the year. Kirk Cousins, very good quarterback.
He's elite.
They played Dak.
And Aaron Rodgers.
They got torched by Dak.
Yeah,
and they
got torched by Dak. But they played
him.
Yeah. No, they did not give up 33 points.
With 24 before he left the game.
Yeah, exactly. So
all of those guys, head and shoulders above Purdy, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Second point, San Fran at home this year, 8-1, 89%. On the road, 5-3, 62.5%. Now, I have a dilemma, and I need all four of you to
flip side of that. I think we were 6-2 at home this year.
Yeah, I think the two losses they had
They've also won 12 games in a row.
We were 7-1 at home. I mean, 7-2 at home and 7-1 on the road.
Well, and 7-1.
Oh, that's why we got the extra home game. I forgot about that.
And with Hurts, they only lost one. Yeah.
And a question for all of you, if you could all answer this. I bought a $100 ticket for the Eagles to win the Super Bowl in April, and it's worth $3,500. Their cash out on the particular app that I bought it through is $852.50. And for you, Jack, that's 24.3%, because I know you're not very good with math.
Boom, boy.
All right. Now, I got a $50 ticket that I bought a little later as the odds started to drop in August that's paying $12.50. And their cash out is $318.04. If each of you would just tell me what you would do, hold it and keep it rolling, or cash it out, both of them, or one of those tickets, I would appreciate your advice as to what you would do if it was your
What
money.
Was the first one? I didn't write down the first one, Steve. What was the
first
cash
out? For $100
is going to, if I cash out, is going to pay $35. Now, if I cash out, is going to pay $852.50. If I hold it, it will be worth more if they win, obviously. And if they win the Super Bowl, $3,500.
All right. Ike?
I mean, I think this is an easy one.
Yeah, you gotta hold on to that.
Yeah.
We gotten this far. We gotten this far, Steve.
Yeah, this isn't life changing money.
Yeah.
For
some people, maybe.
If you relax in there. No, I'm just saying. Like, it's not like 70,000. You're like,
I know what you're saying.
Right.
Yes.
If they win this game and you will have cashed out, you will be more upset about that than
that little $800. You're gonna be mad as hell that you didn't wait.
All right. So if you cashed out the 150, you would the two bets you'd make $1,170 on a $150 wager.
Right.
Yeah.
But if you hold out and they win,
you'd make $4,750.
Yeah. But also keep in mind, if they win on Sunday, that cash out probably also goes up too.
It definitely goes up.
Yeah, for sure. So you're basically if you think they're going to win on Sunday is what it comes down to.
Yeah. So we'd all hold it at this point?
Oh, yeah.
I would. Jack would cash out, though.
Jack. Yeah, I'd cash out.
I'm not a cash out
well,
guy.
Well, I'm a coward.
This guy earlier was saying his confidence is an 11 on a 1 to 10, but you would cash out?
Yeah, well, because that's money involved.
Yeah. This is just takes. There's no monetary value.
I mean, my guy's over here tipping $5. Doesn't seem like he's hurting too much.
Come on, Jack.
Listen, made of money back home.
Exactly.
But he's also looking at this is diaper money. He's going to need the extra cash for that stuff.
That's a good point.
All right.
I would hold on. Right. At least through this game.
Yeah.
And if I saw the matchup, like, well, hell, whichever matchup
either
you
one's
get.
Gonna be
I was going to say, yeah, you're right. Whichever one's going to be difficult. But if that cash out gets up to, what, $1,100,
$1,200, right.
And then if the other one is up to about $500, I might go ahead and just take that.
And then you can enjoy the
Super Bowl. Yeah, then I can go ahead and take that $2,200 knowing I got that in the bag. Yeah.
Mm.
Also, I would much rather play the Chiefs, by the way.
Well, and here's the other thing. You can always cash out after the championship game and then take some of that and put it into the Super Bowl as a bet.
Yep. Because the Eagles will probably be underdogs.
Yeah, you can take that and put some of it. You're going to put it back into the Super Bowl anyway, like, right. And bet on it.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you'll get the Eagles at plus odds in the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You sure?
I think they'll be
underdogs. They're the favorite right now.
I think they'll be underdogs to the Chiefs or the Bengals.
But I think they're only favorites because they know one of the AFC teams is going to lose.
Right. Like, the Eagles have the easiest path to the Super Bowl right now because the Niners, of the four teams,
yes.
In my opinion, are the worst of the four teams.
Right? Yeah.
And considerably worse than the Bengals.
I would disagree. I don't think enough people are paying attention to Pat Mahomes' high ankle sprain. That's a 3 to 4 week injury.
Yeah.
And he's going to try to play. So, I mean, they're 2.5 point underdogs.
Yeah.
At home. 215-592-9494. Marks and Reese, 215-592-94.
I don't think anybody thinks the Chiefs going to win. You think the Chiefs are the worst team out of four?
Yeah.
He's saying because of the ankle injury.
Oh, because of – oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
All right, coming up, your phone calls on this. Also, who is Sunday moron, the offense or the defense? That's coming up next. Marks and Reese, 94 WIP.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm going to chase you out of earth. Lucifer, son of the morning.
We're back, Mark's Reese. Twitter questions brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. If you're getting engaged, visit the home team. Best selection of diamond engagement rings to fit every budget. Mark's-Jewelers.com. I was looking to see how much tickets are going for.
Ooh, I saw some of those prices.
Yeah, it's a lot.
God bless you all.
Let's just say you're not buying out from that guy.
Maybe you cash out to buy tickets to the game.
Man.
So there's a lot of different secondary market. I just went to StubHub to see, and it's a little bit deceiving because you look at the ticket price, and then you look to how much you're actually paying with fees for one of the worst seats in the house, but it is a seat, $1,730 for a pair.
That's insane.
For standing room only with fees, and this is on StubHub, $1,457 for standing room.
Damn, just for standing room?
You might as well stand at a bar at that point.
Now,
my goodness.
But just to put this in perspective, friends of mine paid $1,600 for one standing room only ticket at a World Series
game. Yeah.
So this is the closest, unless you're going out to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
If you want to see this game and it matters to you to be in the stadium to see it, it's going to cost you.
Yep, and some people may not have had that opportunity at the last championship game,
right?
And wish they had gotten there because, like you said, Sunday is the last home game, regardless if they win or lose.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be no more games at the Link this year. They'll be in Arizona in 2 weeks. So, yeah, if this is your one opportunity to do it and you've got a little extra cash, yeah. Here's the other thing: you spend all that money to go to the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, how you get in Arizona?
Yeah.
How are you getting to Arizona? But if you're spending $1,400 to stand, you're probably not worried too much about the flight ticket to Arizona.
Well, dude, listen, I don't know.
Or you just got to do a Super Bowl party here.
Yeah. Right.
So
I think the Super Bowl is better watched in Philly.
Yes.
Than it
yes.
is. I mean, you know.
Yes.
You were in Minnesota, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and we like, came home for
and
it.
We came back.
It's exciting to say you were there, mm-hmm. but in terms of actually celebrating and doing all those things,
completely
I think
agree.
The money saved is way better off being in the city as opposed to going to Arizona.
Well, for me, it wasn't even the money saved as much as if the Eagles were going to win the Super Bowl, these are the people
right.
I want to be with, to celebrate with. Mm-hmm. And these are close friends that we watch the Super Bowl every year together. Our kids have been watching it together since they were yay high. Mm-hmm. And it was the first time they're going to get a chance to see the Eagles in the Super Bowl. So if they were going to win it, I wanted to be with those people when they won it, when, with my family there and everything. Yeah. So it made it – it would not have felt as good to me, although I would have enjoyed it in Minneapolis. But let's say if it
being
was me and Renee at the game,
mm-hmm.
my kids are back here. Like yeah. that would not have felt the same to me. Felt much better winning it here, shedding a tear here,
there you go.
As opposed to being there. And that's what we're going to do in 2 weeks.
Run down to City Hall, like sprinting well, down Broad.
Well, here's the other thing. I wanted to watch the reaction on the news
yeah,
that night.
Yeah, you can't do that if you're at the
exactly.
stadium. By the time you get back.
Yeah,
and,
I wanted
yeah.
to see how the city was going crazy.
Yeah.
Which was actually
now,
fun. That was fun to watch, too.
Arizona's a lot nicer than Minnesota.
Now, was the Super Bowl the horse? Poop.
That was the no. That,
that was
the championship
game.
Championship game.
So,
okay.
So Jack, get your horse poop eating mouth ready after the NFC Championship game.
I already have it all planned out, John. Me and Robbie, we're gonna go take to the streets 3 hours after the post game show.
Oh, that's right. You'll be post game.
Yeah, me and Rob.
3 hours after.
Nice.
We're gonna go streaking down Broad Street right on time for everyone.
Sure, it'll be yep. a good crowd there. 3 hours yeah. after 1 a.m. in the morning.
There'll
yeah.
still be some people out.
Oh yeah,
wishing,
Jack will be up yeah. climbing the grease poles. Whatever.
I was actually thinking about that today. Like, you know, when it first happened, I was like 24. Right. Like, all my friends were pretty much living in the city. I feel like I'm kind of cooked now. Like,
yeah.
Like,
yeah, just drive home.
Westchester's not going to be popping at
Jack, you already saw it. You don't need to do it again. You've
exactly.
already been there.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've already been there.
Hold on. I will be popping. I mean, the game's at 3. It'll be done by 6.
I forgot the game's at 3. That's right. Yeah.
Well, you're talking about for the NFC Championship
yeah, yeah,
game.
Yeah, yeah.
I was talking about the Super Bowl.
But the Super Bowl's not at 3.
No,
you're right.
Sorry, Donovan
yeah,
Chestnut. It's at 6.
Although in Arizona, it'll be at
it'll be 3.
It'll be
but
at 4
not,
o'clock,
we're not
I think,
streaking
yeah.
in Arizona. Yeah. We're back here.
Right.
Yes.
Streaking in Arizona, you're going to jail.
Yeah.
Most likely. Just word of advice before we move on here. If I was, I would spend the extra, because it's only an extra, it's less than $300 to get it. Even if it's a bad seat, it's still a seat. Right, like we were when we. Nah.
Well, if you're sitting
for
by
two.
Yourself, I mean.
No, so this is for a pair.
Oh, okay.
So $1,700 for two tickets.
It's $1,700 for a pair of tickets in section 231, and it's a pair of standing room tickets. It's $1,457. Mm. So I'd spend the extra whatever to get, even if it's a bad seat, at least it's a seat. But when we were out at the World Series, it was awesome. We had standing room. Would have been nice to have a seat.
Mm-hmm.
For that one, you know what I mean, but we didn't.
Well, I also think Citizens Bank's more walkable than the Link is, just in terms of there's more places to stand
right.
and see
yeah,
the field.
Right, I agree.
I think it's tougher at the Link to do.
Yeah, yeah, like the last thing I want is to pay yeah. that kind of money and not be able to see anything.
Right,
the
you're
whole time.
Five rows deep and standing only.
Right, right. All right, is this
oh, man,
a
we stood for a whole damn the whole game one World Series
the whole game
oh,
one
in Houston, right?
Yeah. And by
different.
The way, Elliot, I know that you're average height, but Elliot,
yeah, I am, yeah.
But Ike and Jack are taller.
Right.
Me and my dad were struggling to see over the taller people.
I felt bad for your dad, yeah. man. Like, we flew him all the way down to Houston. He had to look up over people.
But that's why we
I'm
left
sure people problems. Are
but
tough,
that's
man.
Why we left and we found a spot where we could actually see, and
yes.
we spent the middle. And that's where they made yeah. the comeback when we had left.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, dude, game one was insane. So at least it was a yeah. good one to be at.
Ah, I was.
Yeah. Somebody almost got a two-piece that night.
Oh, really? I didn't hear this story.
Remember that, Jack?
He got mouthy with like,
oh, really?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
a mistake.
I thought you were talking about me and the old guy in front of me. It also went two different ways. You almost fought someone, and I almost had the Astros fan fighting me.
Which was an Astro fan with me, too.
Yeah,
that guy was
yeah.
an Astro fan.
He was getting tested. Gilio yeah. was drunk. He was
Gilio
he
was yeah, Gilio's hammering.
This sounds like it was the real content I wanted. Forget the game recaps or whatever.
I bought a White Claw for $24.
Sounds about right.
But it was the size of a 2 liter.
Yeah.
Well, I had one, too. I couldn't even finish it.
That's all we could drink, man.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was a mango White Claw. It tasted so bad by the middle of the can.
The problem with those is they're so big. Like, they're warm.
They got warm.
You got to finish it quickly, yeah.
It's also my 12th or 13th drink of the night. I spent hundreds of dollars on drinks.
Ooh,
at the ballpark.
Boy.
Look at you.
You did not drink 12 or 13 drinks that night. Are you nuts?
If you drink 12
oh,
of those White Claws,
oh,
you'd be getting
like
carried out of the stadium. 24-ounce ones?
No, it's just beers in general or whatever. Oh, yeah. I didn't have 12 of them.
I was going to say.
Were you hammered? I didn't.
I was hammered.
Yeah. Well, by the end of the night, because that's when we got to the hotel.
I was just drinking straight vodka. Oh, man, I was totally hammered.
It's a great time.
Maybe you guys should come to Arizona.
I didn't notice any of this.
Yeah.
We are going to be in Arizona. So is this a – would you say – this game on Sunday is the offense or the defense? Like, who's it more on, Elliott Shore Parks?
It's the offense. It's always the offense. The answer is always the offense. It's an offensive league. Jalen's about to get $45 million a year. They have an offensive head coach. They have, let's be honest, an offensive owner, right? Like, the end of the day, the offense has to win the game. They're like, bottom line. And not to mention, I know they're not on the field at the same time, but Jalen Hurts to Brock Purdy is the biggest gap in talent probably amongst any position on that field, right? Jalen's a guy that almost won MVP, that played at top, you know, colleges. He's played in big games like this. He's played in championship games. He's played in road playoff games. He's played in home playoff games. The pressure is on the offense. If Gannon and the defense don't play well, you know, obviously that's on them, and I'm sure we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But ultimately, if it comes down to a shootout, then win the shootout. Win the shootout, right? Like, this is the week where Jalen, you know, earns all that money. Like, this is it.
The matchup is our offense against their defense.
Yeah, it's absolutely,
for sure.
It's absolutely more on the offense.
Yep,
and it's more on the Niners offense, too, right? They have Kyle Shanahan. They have, I know they have Bosa on the defense side of the ball, but they're paying Debo, Kittle, McCaffrey. Like,
how many points wins it?
I think if you get to 27, you definitely win the game.
Oh, yeah.
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 I think you could win it with 24, but if you can get to 27, I would be surprised if they lost with 27 points.
Yeah.
I would be, too.
Yeah.
Agreed. All right, let's take a couple phone calls. Jeff's calling from Wilmington. Hi, Jeffrey. How are you? Jack, you punch that up. I can't for whatever reason. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Yo.
What's up, Jeff?
What's up, Jeff?
I am glad I went to the playoff games in 7 or in 18 because I only paid $350 for the Falcons game, and I think me and my stepson paid $460 apiece for the Vikings game.
Wow. Really?
Inflation.
Well, yeah, people didn't believe as much then, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably so, but we were on it immediately after the end of the season. After the Dallas game, we got the tickets for the Falcons game, and then, like, literally, yeah, he was on it, you know. And I had a little extra money at that time. That's the only reason I was able to do it.
So. Gotcha.
All good.
Yep.
So I'm thinking, I think Jack said he'd be less surprised if this game was a, you know, a two-score victory than it would be if the Eagles were to lose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaning towards that way, too. But let me ask you this. You guys think they're going to tighten up the coverage kind of like they did in this last game on defense, get up a little closer on these guys, not let Purdy get those underneath passes? Because I don't think he can beat us over the top.
They
don't normally try.
Well, and Debo's not a speed receiver.
Right.
Yeah, I would imagine you want to get to Debo before he gets the ball, right? So playing off of him and then having to come up and tackle him.
Right.
Yeah, one-on-one.
But, well, the only thing I would say to that is playing off coverage has really helped them get turnovers this year, and Purdy throws interceptable passes. So, I at the end of the day, I don't think any of their receivers at the line of scrimmage are elite outside wide receivers. To your point, like, you know, if he gets off the line clean, he's tough to catch. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, I'm okay with my guys playing off and hoping Purdy throws, you know, makes a mistake and you can jump on him.
Right. Yeah, I mean, listen, that's exactly what happened with Daniel Jones the other day. I mean, they had a little bit of a pressure coming. They had the slot blitz on there. But really, James Bradbury had the chance to just basically sit there and watch the play and jump it. So, yeah, it like I said, it's a nice little chess match, the cat and mouse between. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. This is also going to depend on Slay and Bradbury. Like, Jonathan Gannon can call a defense, but the corners decide whether or not they want to play up, they want to come off.
Yes.
Like the corner is their comfort zone and what they choose to do. Like, Jonathan Gannon, when it's 3rd and 3, doesn't say line up 5 yards deep.
Right. There's very few downs where they are told where to line up on up or on up coverage or off. But the other interesting thing about
on coverage,
yeah,
on and off coverage.
Yeah, I meant up at the line of scrimmage and off. My bad. Yeah. But the interesting part about the game too, though, is because their receivers are not great. Like, they're great receivers, but CeeDee Lamb is like lines up on the outside, beats man coverage type of guy. That's not Debo. That's not Brandon Ayuk. So in a way, Bradbury and Slay, I don't want to say they're neutralized, but they're not as valuable in this week as they are in other weeks because so much of it's going to be the inside guys, like Kittle, where Debo's lining up. Now, you could move them inside, mm-hmm. but they've not done that a ton this year.
I will say this. The one thing I would worry about that I think we struggle with a little bit as corners is when we get crossing routes.
Yep.
Like, for whatever reason, we don't play the routes that go across the field very well.
Well, I think that's a result of the off coverage, too.
Right.
Because you're able to get the line quickly. Mm-hmm. Now, I will say, while they're susceptible to giving up those, like, 7 or 8 yard completions over the middle, they are good at tackling and stopping them from resulting into big
plays. Yeah.
But to your point, when I think when people are most frustrated with this defense, it's when guys are just getting off the line clean and running across the middle, and that's like the dink and dunk down the field. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I think when people get the most frustrated.
Slow death, yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yep. And the Niners will be happy, you know, they will be happy to do that.
Mm. OG Wade, check it in. OG Wade, how are you today, buddy?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
What's up, Wade?
OG.
What's up, Mr. Butterworth?
What up, man? Man, I heard you earlier today. You know, it's always good to hear you play off week multiple times a day.
I had to go in and Ross Tucker said some smart stuff out of his mouth, and I had to check him.
What did he say?
That's OG's role on the station. He has to call in and educate people.
He said John was crazy for picking Jalen Hurts as his quarterback that he would pick to be his guy today. Now, over Patrick Mahomes. Now, didn't want to go into who's better or this and that, but I'm telling him, why does John have to be crazy? Realistically speaking, Jalen Hurts does more for his team than Patrick Mahomes does for his team.
Dude,
I broke it down. Jalen Hurts is the reason why Lane Johnson has not given up a sack in 2 years. Because why? Jalen Hurts will leave, and we all know this, he leaves early. He anticipates that pressure. So that helps your O-line not give up sacks. Yeah, we blame for Jalen for bailing too soon, but guess what it does? It doesn't give up a sack, okay? The other one was we seen when Jalen's not there. Miles Sanders is not a good running back in that situation. Well, when Jalen's there, Miles Sanders rushes for good yards. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that's your O-line, that's your running game, and then your passing game. Jalen Hurts can throw the ball. I believe better than Jackson, you know, from so Jalen does a lot more.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Then for his team, then I believe that Patrick does, and I just broke it down where I've seen Jalen not lose games for us. I've seen Patrick Mahomes literally lose games for the Kansas City Chiefs.
So let me ask you this, though, OG. I know you would take Jalen and John Ritchie would take Jalen. Do you think the Eagles would take Jalen over Patrick Mahomes?
Honestly, no, I don't.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't. But
real quick.
The good about what we're talking about,
yeah,
they both great damn players.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then the other thing is this here is, and he made this point, that all the GMs would, you know how many damn times these GMs have been wrong? You know what I'm saying? So you're not saying nothing real smart by saying that, because I'm telling you, with the leadership and with all the stuff that this player brings to the table, I'm taking Jalen any damn day. That's just my, you know,
I actually agree with him to an extent. Mm-hmm. I think if you had the Eagles roster, right,
mm-hmm.
or any talented roster you want to pick, I think there's an argument for Jalen being more valuable than Mahomes in the way that, A, he helps the running game more than Mahomes does,
right.
But, B, he throws far fewer interceptable passes than Mahomes does. Mahomes can be reckless with the ball.
Right.
I think the difference is if you put Mahomes on any roster with any amount of talent and Jalen, like, I think Mahomes improves the roster more than Jalen does. But in terms of what Jalen did this year that's huge in this debate is, if you put Jalen in the pocket, he can run the passing offense, which Mahomes can as well, but Jalen's smarter with the ball, I think, than Mahomes is.
Think about this. 6 months ago, this is a laughable conversation.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's a legitimate conversation to a degree. To a degree. Especially this year.
Right.
Especially this year. I won't dismiss it. I'm just telling you, nobody in their right mind outside of Philadelphia would take Jalen Hurts over Pat Mahomes, and rightfully so. One guy's done it for 6 years, five straight conference championship games, 2 Super Bowls, a title, MVP. Like one guy has a much longer track record of being great. It's no slight at Jalen. Actually, it's a compliment to Jalen that somebody is putting him in that conversation now.
And I think
he's in it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, now you can say
it's not a crazy conversation.
No, but when they're talking about quarterbacks 25 years old and younger or whatever the number you'll throw out there, he's up there with Burrow, with Herbert, with Josh Allen. Like, now he has to stay there.
which
right?
is the
like,
hard
like
part.
Like that's that's the hard part. Is like now you have to stay there.
Yeah, but what I think it is about Jalen is, look, he does have highlight plays for sure. But I think what Jalen does doesn't show up on a stat sheet. Like, Jalen is really good at playing winning football, like flat out. Mm-hmm. He might not be as purely talented as Mahomes or whatever, but just when you talk about if you want a quarter, I mean, Mahomes is 21 and Hurts is 21-4 in his last 25 starts. Yeah. I was looking it up yesterday. I think only McNabb ever matched that in franchise history. Hurts knows how to win games. He won't have the no-look pass that Mahomes has and that type of stuff. But if you're just talking about moving forward for the future, I think it's certainly a debate. I would probably pick Mahomes, but to your point, Ike, like the fact it's even a debate is just speaks how much he's improved.
Well, just ask yourself, you take A.J. Brown off this team, does Hurts still go out and throw for 4,000 yards, 5,000 yards, and 40 touchdowns? I mean, that's essentially what happened to Patrick Mahomes.
A.J.
Brown took Tyreek Hill off the team, the most explosive, dangerous weapon in the game. And the guy still went out there and led the league in yards and touchdown passes.
But I think
that's what I'm saying. I think on talented teams, it's the same. But the difference is Mahomes makes any team he's on a Super Bowl contender just by being on the roster. Hurts can take a great roster and make the most of it. And look, he can improve guys' skills.
For sure.
I mean, AJ's having a career year for what it's worth. It's not like, you know, this is the best Devontae career year, Goddard career year. But I just think the major leap that Jalen's taken is he can play winning football and move the ball through the air, and you couldn't say that last year.
The real test will be moving forward is what the team looks like when you pay Jalen Hurts, after you pay Jalen Hurts. Mm-hmm. Like, that's going to be the real test. Like, Dak was great. He threw for 5,000 yards, 40 touchdowns when he had Amari, he had Gallup, he had CeeDee Lamb, he had a younger Ezekiel Elliott.
Zeke wasn't washed.
Yeah, like he looked a lot better. Their offense looked a lot better. And then you had to pay him. Hell, you can even say Wentz in 17 had more talent. That was probably the most talented team he had around him. Yeah. Then they paid him, and guys got older. They didn't draft well.
Yep.
He didn't raise the level of players around him. So what can you do? Like, that's what happens with all these young quarterbacks. Russell Wilson, they paid you, then they started taking players away.
Yeah, and I do think that's a benefit. Like, for all the times we've sort of said, oh, they should fire Howie, right? The fact that he's lived through so many NFL experiences, I think, helps Jalen. Like, to your Carson point, right? Howie's been through paying a quarterback, how you manage that, the downfall of it, coming off a Super Bowl, all those things. That's a very rare experience for a general manager to have. Because generally, if you go through that downfall, you're done. You get fired. Like Howie was kept on. So Howie knows how it played with Carson, bringing back too many guys on the team, paying the receivers, those type of things. Doesn't mean it'll be easy or he'll be perfect at it. But I think his experience doing it is a major advantage for Jalen that other quarterbacks don't have with their general manager.
Well, yeah, and that's the loyalty that Jeffrey Lurie has.
Yeah,
because you just said it
pays off.
No other GM gets the multiple opportunities. They're fired and you move on from them.
Yeah,
but you have an owner that believes in him and is loyal to him, and he's given him an opportunity to correct mistakes, because you don't have multiple first round bust draft picks and still survive
or like hand out the biggest quarterback in franchise history and have that backfire to your point.
Yeah, right? But there's a lot of other signings and things that didn't work also, and you usually get fired for it.
Yep. Alshon?
Yeah, you usually get fired for it, so he's been given the opportunity to correct those things.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's been given that opportunity.
And he's done an amazing job of correcting them.
And that's not to say if you gave another guy an opportunity instead of firing him after 3 years.
Who knows? He could have done a good job, too.
That person could have changed his fortunes as well.
I just think one thing that really helps Jalen is he plays for an organization that is run at a very high level. And that's not something a lot of quarterbacks
can say. You don't get no disagreement here.
Yeah.
It's been that way for 25 years.
Yep.
So, and I saw this today, the Eagles have the second most conference title appearances since 2001. Seven. In the NFL, Patriots obviously have the most, but the Eagles have the second most.
Yeah.
In the NFL, let's go to Kimberly.
Thank God we got that ring in 2017, man.
Yep.
It would be a much different feel heading.
It would be a much different feel, man.
Yep. No, there would be a sense of desperation.
Yeah. Don't you miss it though?
No.
Jack missed.
Give it back.
No.
Give that
Super
ring
Bowl's
back.
The worst thing to happen to Jack.
Well, think about it.
Awesome.
The fangs have been taken out of this fan base.
Yeah.
I mean, this week would be like bloodthirsty.
Really? The fan base is firing the off defensive coordinator
That's
all season long.
They have eyes.
Yeah, they have eyes. All right. Kimberly, the vice president of the LTBB, joins us. Hi, Kimberly.
Hi, gentlemen. Happy Tuesday.
Happy Tuesday.
What's up, Kimberly?
What's up, Kimberly? How you doing?
I'm all right. You know, I've been listening to the top five at five the last couple weeks, and it's lacking a little pizzazz, I think.
Ooh.
Oh. Wow.
Ooh, boy.
Did you steal Jack's thunder? And it's been in his head ever since?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Just fire.
I'm just kidding. It's been wonderful as usual, Jack.
You're funny.
We'll see what he has today.
Oh.
Yeah, really. And really quickly on the tipping thing, I was in an airport last weekend. I bought an empanada, and the woman reached into the counter, put it in a bag, and handed it to me. And then the machine asked me for a $2 tip. And I was like, wow, like it defaulted to $2.
Yeah, the machine's very aggressive in how much they want you to do it, for sure.
I mean, if she gets $2 every time she does that, she's making more than I am. So that's pretty awesome, you know?
That's a good point.
Anyway, I stood and had a conversation with ESP a little over a year ago talking about how I didn't have a lot of faith in Jalen. Mm-hmm. You guys know I've called into the show on that. I would take Jalen over Patrick now because of the future. I think Patrick Mahomes is amazing, but I'm in on Jalen until he proves me wrong, which I hope is not for a really, really long time.
Yeah.
So I've overcome that. But I do think we win this weekend, but I'm a little worried. You know, 5 years ago, everybody counted us out because we had a backup quarterback.
Mm.
And, you know, that just gave us fire. I'm a little worried that people are too fired up for this and are selling San Francisco a little short.
Mm-hmm.
I think this game's going to be harder than we all think it's going to be. And it makes me anxious.
Well, so. I think a difference is I think people, because of Purdy, are saying they can win the game. But I don't think a lot of fans are saying, oh, this isn't like Tampa in 2002. I think that a lot of people feel this could be a close game.
Hmm.
Thank you, only Jack, I think, is at an 11 out of 10.
Right. Well, listen, believe me, there's going to be plenty of people that feel like that this week. But for the most part, they realize that San Francisco is a team that can come in here and beat you.
Yeah.
With Brock Purdy or without Brock Purdy. All right. Well, Elliot, are you doing Go Birds every day this week?
Every day, man. So tomorrow morning, 7:30 a.m., live streamed on the WIP Twitter and a YouTube page. And then we'll be in all your podcast apps after that.
Wow.
Well, we're anti-podcast on this show.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
It's a radio show.
It's a radio show, okay.
Yeah, and go do your Sixers podcast.
I hear you mentioned the High Hopes pod quite a bit, yeah.
He never mentions the High Hope podcast.
Oh, really?
I get mad at him because he doesn't promote it on the air. It's like he doesn't want to be associated with the show.
It's not about me.
Okay. Yeah, I was going to say, Jack's very much not into self-promotion, so it's not surprising.
We, not me.
Yeah, yeah.
We, not me.
Exactly.
Thank you, Elliot.
Yep, talk to you guys next.
Appreciate it.
All right, brother.
Coming up next, what do you hear this? One radio host. What did he have to say about Nick Sirianni and how he was acting on the sideline on Saturday? We have the audio for you covered up next. The ref bomb's involved in it.
Why? Was that upset?
He was not happy about it. He's a Yinzer, too. That's one of the reasons.
Oh, okay.
We'll play for you covered up next. Marks and Reese, 94 WIP. Hey.